Praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We're back. We took a hiatus for about 18 months from public access and also from video. We've been doing the online podcast at Blog Talk Radio. You can always go there at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to our podcast and our radio show there, catch up what we've been doing the last couple of years. That's been our main focus. And as always, we just want to encourage the brothers, encourage men of God in their growth, in this Christian walk as men. You know, sometimes as Christian men, we have a lot of issues and people perceive us a different way and don't realize that we're dealing with the same thing as the unbeliever. And that's the biggest thing. But yet, in the body of Christ and through the word of God, we have a blueprint. We have an answer for all the issues that we deal with. Because I've had issues. Some of the men you're going to meet today have issues and have overcome them. But it's through the word of God and through our obedience in Christ. So, again, you know, I also wanted to put a disclaimer out there that any of the men, as we move forward into this program, that we don't stand on pedestals and raise ourselves above and think that, you know, we want to chastise or condemn someone. Because these are the things we all go through. Husbands, fathers, and sons. We all have a lot in common. We have more in common than we have different. And we just, as Christian men, and the men that that we're going to have on our discussion panels, just want to bring to light and encourage you along the way. Some of us have been through some things, and we can tell you God does work and God will. And also, if you're in the midst of something, I encourage every man out there, because it's one of the issues we're going to talk about later on is we have a lot of men who claim to be Christians but are not part of a local congregation. Don't have a circle of men, believing men, around them to encourage them and come alongside them. And that's another thing is that we struggle with as men, being transparent and open. But I'll leave that there as we continue on. Hopefully you'll watch the ongoing. We're going to have a series of shows. Come back and join us. And something we're going to touch on in our conversations is going to be relevant and it's going to touch you right where you are. So we're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to go around and introduce you to my guest this week. Amen. Father God, we say thank you. Thank you, God, for sending your son Jesus Christ to die for us. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. I thank you for every man that comes on this program. I thank you for every man in the body of Christ. I thank you for the pastors, elders, leaders, and deacons who serve, those who serve behind the scene, the laymen of the church, from the front pew to the back pew, who are faithful to the word of God and living a life that is glorifying him and advancing his kingdom. So I ask your continued blessings, and I bless those who are watching this show right now that a word will be spoken today that would encourage them to go one more day. One more day. We pray that he will not give up, that something would be said that encourage him, and that also he would open up his heart and open up to reach out to someone and seek the help, the guidance, the discipleship, the mentoring that he needs to be all that you created him to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to begin today. First, let me begin, as I do all my radio shows, those who listen. We want to be able to share the gospel, understand what the gospel is, because we hear a lot of preaching, a lot of things, but the pure gospel, the pure unadulterated gospel is just that. It's the good news that God became a man in Jesus Christ, and that through his birth, life, death, and resurrection, he's paid the price for all of our sins, the sins of all mankind.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And because of that, we now can be reconciled back to God through our faith in him, that we might someday be reconciled back to God with him in heaven at the time of our death. So, you know, I say that because you hear a lot of things, but a lot of people don't understand the simple gospel.
Yes.
Now, we have 66 books you can go into and study, and that's where I encourage you to build on that. But the foundation of the gospel is Jesus Christ, his life, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go around real quick, the panel here, and have them introduce yourself. We're going to start over here to my left, to Brother Aloy on the end there.
Good morning. I am proud to be here with you, brothers, pastors, deacons. You don't know. You actually are my mentors. I have so many mentors, because you have to realize that you can get so much from so many people, no matter what type of life or walk they are with. Amen. You take a good out of everything, and I take a lot of good from all of you.
Amen.
I am a member of Covenant of Lifehouse Ministries. I am director of the outreach Beyond the Walls there, also the drummer there, which I have so much fun doing every Sunday. And I also have an outreach called Community of Love United, which is out in the community. And I noticed that those in the community want to be part of it. So, you know, those people that don't really get the church, but you still let your light so shine that others may see outside of the church, which is the most important as well. Because Jesus was outside the church.
Yes.
He wasn't in the church all the time. So they want to be part of those things. So we bring that spiritual love and care to the community, and they just want to be part of that. And who doesn't want to be part of love?
Amen.
You know, amen.
That's in everything. The same subject that we're speaking of. You know, it's just a love that we get out of things that we do. So glad to be here, sir.
Amen. Thank you, sir, for taking time out and joining us.
Thank you.
Amen. Brother.
Praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Anthony Lee. It's just a blessing to be a part of the body of Christ. I know what my past is. I know I don't know what the future holds, but I pray that God will continue to shower his blessings on me and continue to teach me where I could be the man that he called me to be. And not the man that I used to be. So I'm blessed to be here. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for our pastors. I'm thankful for my leaders and spiritual leaders and brothers, et cetera. I'm a part of the prison ministry, which is great. We do outreach, et cetera, because we want to compel people to know who Jesus Christ is.
Yes.
Not just the surface, but we actually want to be a part of what God is doing in their lives as well, and draw people to the gospel and what it is, and actually, you know, who Christ really is and what he means in our life. Yeah. Not Christ as just, you know, going to church, but Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
You know, and those are the examples that we want to set in our lives so that people can say, what must I do to be saved? So I thank God for those opportunities as well, and I'm blessed to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor?
Praise the Lord. Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm excited. Amen. I'm always excited when I'm talking about Jesus Christ, because he's the reason that we are here.
Yes.
And I'm Pastor George Shops, the senior pastor from Jesus Lives Ministry. And I'm just so thankful to be able to be here, to be able to talk to you all who is watching and listening about how important it is to train up our children and our family in the way they should go. Amen.
Thank you. Lord. Again, gentlemen, I just thank you. For those of you who may not know me, because this might be, you haven't known me from before, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm a member at Jesus Lives Ministry, and Pastor Sharps is my pastor. He's the senior pastor there. Mm-hmm. We're located out on in Hanover at 7466 New Ridge Road. We're right down the mall. How I tell people is we're right down the street from the mall. So you come out the mall, make a left, keep going straight down until you see our sign. That's the easiest way to get there. Our services are 11 a.m. Bible studies is on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Yeah. So we always have open door and invite you to come out there.
Amen.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the importance of a father and relationship with his son, specifically his son, you know, because if we look around the culture, but let me say this, because if we look around and we see how the culture is, we have single parents, we have young men doing a whole lot of things in the streets, and some of that is because of fatherlessness, and then some of that is also we have fathers who, how can I say, they slipped in their raising of their sons. Because I've met men who they know who their father is. Their father might have been in the house, but they still, for whatever reason, made choices. Because their father didn't really engage them, I'll put it that way. Because, I mean, we all have, you know, because I don't want to put it all on fatherlessness. Because then that way, some people are automatically in their head, they shut us off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we want to talk about the men who are in the home.
Yes.
Who are struggling. Because I'll say this, I'll start it off, because you can say this, There was, and when I was a young man, there was a time when, you know, you push back against your dad for whatever reason. It may come around 15, 16, you know, you're using deodorant, you got some hair growing and stuff like that, you know. But even in that, if I look back on it, it was me and my dad and how he handled it. Because, you know, it's we have to know how to raise our sons, because we want our sons to mature. Mm-hmm. Into men. And I think that's where we have to look back on not bringing all our baggage, no matter what our relationship was with our father.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we want them to mature as men, because I thought of something, there's something I read and heard that before that a brother taught at a men's gathering. We look to our sons to be our right-hand man. Mm-hmm. We see them when they're born. We know they're small, we're protecting them, but we want to grow them up to be, I can look to my left, to my right, and he's there. Because mm-hmm. he's going to be a full-grown man someday.
Yes.
So, because if we look back if we look back in civilization, the culture, mm-hmm. a man had sons, and that was his tribe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those were the trusted men, because they, from boys to men, they took responsibility of the family. And that's how you become a patriarch. You got some sons, and you're leading your sons, and it expands from there.
Exactly.
And I think that's where, in this Western culture, as I looked at it, where we slip. Because some brothers out there, they sometimes see their sons as competition.
Yeah.
Mm. We're going to talk about that. Give me a minute. I'm getting there. because that's what it is sometimes. Because of who they are and how they were brought up.
Yes.
You know, and how their dad might have treated them, or what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a struggle, but that's what we want to talk about today. We just want to share some wisdom with the brothers and encourage them, because I want to really speak to those brothers out there who you have. You have toddlers, you have grade school boys, middle school boys, and even if your son's in high school, you know, sometimes you have to step back. And look at that again. You want to raise him to be your right hand man. I'm looking for the word, but it's not coming to me. Your helper. I mean, your guy. He's your right hand guy, mm-hmm. because he represents your family. He's of your seed.
Mm-hmm.
He's of your loin. But you want him, because you want to see him as, okay, this is my son, and I'm proud of him. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being proud of your son and loving your son, because if your son is messing up, you love him, but you know he's messing up.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the world sees it.
Right.
All right? So what I want to talk about, I'm going to go around the room. I'll save you last, so you have wisdom. I'll start with the young brother over here. Okay. I'll start with the youngins over here. No, amen.
I thought I brought my wisdom this morning. I did.
But, you know, it's a different kind of wisdom.
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to do it's a different level. We're going to work on it.
That's important.
We're going to shuffle it around. We're going to use it.
It is a different type.
Right, because this brother right here, you know, he ain't a grandfather.
Right.
So he don't have nothing to say about that.
Right.
All right.
Different types.
But let me start down here on the left with Brother Boone.
Oh, great.
Let me say this. Let me ask you this. As you look over your life, give me two important things that you would advise a brother to do for his son in the midst of growing him up, as we look back.
Oh, the top
number one priority.
The top number one priority is respecting, respect mm-hmm. or respecting
mm-hmm.
Circumstances, situations, people, because
mm-hmm.
Outside of the house. There's so many things going on when you step out your door.
Right.
So you have to respect when you're walking or when you're talking to people or if you're going in the store or if you're driving. Mm-hmm. It's so many types of respect. But the number one respect is the respect of a woman to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would like for my children, and they know, I have two sons. To respect a lady, respect your mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number one priority. And just respecting themselves. They'll respect themselves if they start there. Because
mm-hmm.
that's my two foundations.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that's one. That's a good one. Because, and I think what you're saying about respecting yourself, I think we as fathers, we have to instill in them mm-hmm. that who they are and who you want them to be. And that starts, I think, early.
Yes.
You have to, you know, because like you said, once they go, because like, what is it, from one to five or six, I'm God, I'm King, I'm Superman. but you know, but when they go out into schools or start to go out and see and even mingle with their peers, they see other things.
It's a lot
that will start to weigh against what you taught them. But, you know, I talked about this before with some other men. We can't really protect them. We have to prepare them.
Yes.
Because protecting them is one thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But preparing them is another thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes for some of these young brothers, they've been protected past a certain age.
Right.
And then when they get out there, they fall for everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And because they don't know how to reason it out.
Exactly. In that respect, you know, is a big word. You know, it comes with dignity. Mm-hmm. It comes with integrity. It comes with those things that will help you grow as a young man to a man, because you'll know what to intake and what to outtake in your life.
Amen.
That's the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, brother, what you got? What's your number? You can't use his. You got to come with your own.
I mean, respect is a good one. What
you got? You got to move on. You got to leave off. You got to jump over something else.
So I can't piggyback off respect. Okay.
You're allowed.
Right.
No, this is my show. Hold slow down. Go ahead, bro. What you got?
Well, you know, one of the things that is major to me now versus years ago, I was raised single parent. My mother raised me. So the absence of a father, I had to learn how to, I guess you could say, be a leader. Mm-hmm. Because I have younger siblings and they're girls. So versus, you know, a lot of things that people may have prepared for the child to be able to, you know, be the man that they are supposed to be or be an example of the father, mm-hmm. you know, the fatherhood wasn't actually in my home, mm-hmm. per se. So doing those things as being a leader as far as protection and being able to, you know, comfort, being a leader and not a boss, you mm-hmm. understand what I mean?
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, because being a boss, a child can be a boss. Mm-hmm. Just tell somebody what to do.
Yes.
Right.
You know, Christ was a leader, you know, so he did things as an example versus just telling us to do them.
Okay.
You know, he was the fulfillment and not just the message. You know, so for me, it would be leadership.
Okay.
And to be taught how to be a leader. I didn't know that I was being groomed as a leader. Mm-hmm. I just was doing things around the house and complaining about
them. Right.
Like, why I got to do this? Why can't they do this? why I got to do this all the time? You know, so my mom may ask me something. Mm-hmm. She say, you better get it done. And you guys probably met my mother, so you know how hard she is. So it wasn't necessarily as genuine as I put it just now. She had some other words to throw in there.
But right.
The thing is that when we complain in our youth, I know for me, mm-hmm. I didn't know what she was preparing me for in the future to be the leader in my own household by leading by example. Mm-hmm. So I could tell you to respect a woman, but if I don't, would you really respect one?
Right. Makes sense.
You
Here
know,
we so, go. We just so, kicked off a whole nother. Go ahead.
So it's more so leading by the example versus me telling my children what to do.
Yeah.
So if I show them that I have leadership, they will be leaders behind me. They will mimic what I do mm-hmm. because that leadership is not bossing. That leadership is showing.
Yes.
So I want to live out the words that I may be telling you and not just telling you just because I'm your boss, you know. Yeah. Or
I'm your dad. I'm your dad and do what I say.
You do what I say, not what I do.
Exactly.
So, the thing is, if we, you know, I looked for that growing up. Even my mom would say things sometimes, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't understand why she would make it law for me to do, and she wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yes. So it was like it was a requirement and also a rule in the household to do certain things versus, you know, her doing them.
And then we're kind of confused at that point. So it's like, okay, well, children, because we are flesh, we say when we get older, that's how we're going to be. Because then I'll just tell my kids
that's right.
what to do. I won't leave my I just tell my son, and he better do it.
He better do
because,
it.
Because, you know.
That's the way I was trained.
And then I used to say, I can't wait until I get older to be able to tell somebody else to do something that I don't feel like doing.
Oh, so Lord.
Leadership is a very important thing, especially for young men and, you know, men that are going to be men.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership is something that, you know, you don't see it right away, but people gravitate to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's easy to gravitate to pastor because he's a leader.
Yeah, amen.
You know, he lives what he says. So you have a lot of people saying things but not living it. So leadership, that's
amen. Amen. So far we have respect, we have leadership. And they intertwine because you said something about how we treat a woman. I can't tell my son, don't do this, don't do that. Don't be a womanizer, and I am a womanizer.
Right.
Because I got a girlfriend. Never mind. I have several girlfriends, but I don't want you doing. Never mind.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, I know. That's you another know, show. I know.
I tell you something.
But even, but yeah. And also it's about, but it's a combination of things. It's a combination of those things.
Yes.
That, because again, you know, we say it a lot in church that, you know, we are the only Bible people to read. But we have to remember that goes back to our homes.
That's correct.
Amen.
They start that's right. in our homes. That's one of the things, too. I just wanted to because that came to my thing. This all, when we talk about as Christian men, it all starts in our home.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter where we are, what we want to do, what titles we carry. If it's not in our home, anything else that's out good. There is is disingenuous.
Yeah,
it's not good. Real. It's superficial.
That's good.
And so if that's always starting at home. So I would encourage any brother out there, you know, being a father, that's a title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was doing this the other day, Pastor, and I'm going to come to you. But if you look up the things that we call ourselves, there's fathers, there's mothers. Well, there's fathers, there's husbands, and there's sons. And there's direct definitions in Scripture of what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But in this culture, we take father. We don't keep father on the level that it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That name, that role, that position, it's been minimized for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to blame. But just in the culture, just being a father. Because even, I'll say this. I know this is just Christian men's talk. But even our young late women, you know, when the last time our daughters or our women are encouraged to be mothers? And that's just enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, stay-at-home mothers sometimes still get a little harassed around here. That's all you do, stay home and watch the kids? But
wow,
I digress.
Yeah.
Pastor, let me come to you, sir. But no, we have to think about that because that's where this culture is. Because the culture, I'll say this and I'm going to move on. I hate doing this. But, you know, because we're pushing women with children, we want to push them to the workforce instead of bringing them into the home.
That's right.
There you go, Pastor.
That's good. That's good because that's part of the reason we're having a lot of problem in our society today.
Mm-hmm.
It's because our ancestors, a lot of them, our father wives stayed at home.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go out and work. They spent time with the children, helped raising the children up and the way they should go until the dad come home to help out with that.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're living in a time now where a lot of parents is looking at the school teachers and others to raise their children up.
Come on.
And good that's point. Not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like during my time, I'm just going back some, you know, but when we was growing up, there was family time, and there was certain times when guests came to visit us that we couldn't sit in the living room and listen at our father and mother and the adults' conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had to go outside and play.
Yes.
And so now things is flipping because now you have children telling the parents what to do and what they not going to do. So I think the key point was for me was to teach my children about Jesus Christ and about the Word of God. Yeah. So before they went to bed at night, I sat down with them and read scriptures to them. We prayed together. I allowed them to know the important, most important person in your life should be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, and I always understood that just because I was the father, it doesn't mean that I could just live any kind of life I wanted to live in front of them and then trying to tell them what they shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. So I made sure I try to set the examples for my sons. Mm-hmm. And wow. I'm so thankful because it paid off. Because it's no sense in telling your sons that you shouldn't do this or you should do this if you're not practicing.
Yeah. Amen.
And so it goes right back to what Dig and Anthony was saying a while ago about how, as fathers, we should be leaders. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
We should be leaders. I never want to get to the point where I say, my son is my friend.
That's good.
No,
that's
no.
Good.
We have to know how to separate.
That's right. That's right.
You know, my son is not my friend. He's my son. They're my son.
That's right.
And I love them. And I don't care how old they get. I don't care if they get 60 years old and I be 150.
Amen.
I'm still going to love my sons.
Amen.
They still going to be my sons.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's very important that you catch your sons or catch your children while they're young.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you teach them the principle.
Yes.
You teach them the things of God.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you have to take and pound them with the Word of God every time you turn around.
Right.
No, but you can live it.
You have to live
and that's
it.
Why I tell folks, My best sermon is not what I preach or teach. My best sermon is what I live.
Yes.
Because you never know who is watching.
That's right.
You never know who is using you for.
Somebody's always watching.
A role model. Because somebody is always watching you.
Yes.
But I found out that even in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, God was talking to the Israelites. And he was telling them how important it was for them to bring their children up the right way.
That's right.
To talk to them about the things of Christ when they was walking,
mm-hmm.
when they're laying down, before they go to bed at night. It's very important because Christ is the only one that's going to last.
That's right.
All this other stuff we do is not going to last.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to, I don't want to just teach people about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And not about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me cover this passage. Amen. Amen. This is Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Farr. Oh man. We're gonna bring this segment to a close. And again, we're back live. We're back doing the talk show. We're back in the studio. I want to encourage you. We're gonna be up on YouTube. You can reach out to us on our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. You can follow us there. You can reach out to us, connect us there. For all my pastors, elders, deacons, those in the local area, Baltimore, D.C. area, if you're watching this show, if you want to be a guest, pastors, if you want to come out, men's ministry leaders, you want to come out and be part of discussions. Because, again, we come together and we discuss and we want to just be able to set examples and be able to encourage the brothers where they are. And for the brother in the pew, if you're in the front of the pew or you're in the back, be encouraged. Never give up. God bless you, and we'll see you on our next program.